This morning is going to look a little bit different. As you can see, this is Caleb, who is one of our interns. He's not just sitting up here just for fun. He is going to be tag-teaming this sermon with me, and so I'm going to kind of like take the first half, and then I'm going to hand it off to him, and he's going to take it all the way to the end zone, right? The end zone is like, it's a football term. If you don't watch football, he's going to take it the rest of the way. But we're pretty excited to have Caleb and Kirsten both here. Kirsten, I think, is downstairs with the kids right now. Both our interns have been absolutely incredible this summer. And so Kirsten's actually going to be preaching with Elise in a couple of weeks. But today, it's me and it is Caleb. Come on. We're going to be looking at our spiritual discipline series. We've been doing this all summer. We first looked at the inward disciplines, things that go on within ourselves that we work on that are just us. And the last few weeks, we've been looking at the outward disciplines. And so last week, Pastor Mark talked about solitude and or service, I believe. And I was actually on vacation, so I wasn't here. But I heard good things. And today, we're going to be looking at the idea of submission. Submission, the idea of submitting ourselves to others. Now, submission is probably the most abused discipline ever, in my opinion. The idea of submission is probably the most abused discipline that there is. Over the course of the years, it has been used to make slaves. It has been used to belittle women. It has been used by those who abuse power to keep it. It has been very much abused in our society, but that is not the idea that it is meant to have. True submission means that we recognize that we don't always have to get our own way. True submission recognizes that we can give up our own rights sometimes for the benefit of others. We don't always have to get our own way. And proper submission also means that the person who has authority recognizes that they have a responsibility to those who they have authority over. They have a responsibility to look out for their best interests. Now, of course, that's the design of proper submission, but over the course of time and with sin and with everything going on in the world, that it kind of twists that, but that is the general idea of how it was created. But most of us, if we're honest, we don't really like the idea of submitting to authority. When we think of the idea of, I'm going to submit to this person, it's like, I don't like that. Like, that sounds not good. We don't like it. We don't like being told what to do. Who just loves being bossed around? Anyone? No one. Yeah, no one. Jonathan? No, you don't. I know you. You do not. No one likes being told what to do. No one likes the idea of, I'm going to submit to this person. We don't like being told what to do. We're pretty stubborn. I'm pretty stubborn. I remember when I was about 18, some of you probably heard this story. I was at a Christmas party with some of my friends. And we were leaving, and I was at, normally it's funny, because I'm probably the person who's like, okay, I'm ready to leave, let's go, I'm ready to go. But here I was kind of just taking my time, and so my other three friends were like, hey, we want to go, Christian, let's go. I'm like, okay, I'm coming. So they already have like their shoes and their coats on, and they're like kind of walking to the car, and they're saying, Christian, hurry up. My one friend, John, is saying, like, I got to be home at 11, it's like 10:40, and it's about a 20-minute drive. I said, okay, I'm coming. So I start putting my shoes on, I start talking a little bit more, and finally I hear like some honking outside. I'm like, okay, I'm coming. So I come outside, it's Christmas time, so it's snowing, and I go to get in the car. So I walk up to the door, and I go to like open the door, and they do like the pull off a little bit, right? Where I'm like, oh, and they're like, oh no, they drive away a little bit. I think, okay, very funny. So I take a few steps forward, I go to open the door again, and they pull forward a few feet. And they're like laughing in the car. I'm like, yeah, really original, guys, so good. And so I'm walking up again, third time, I go to open the door, and they pull up again. So I said, my friend Jace was driving. I said, Jace, if you pull up one more time, I will not walk to the car. I don't care what you say or do, you will have to reverse the car back to me. I will not move. You got it? Yeah, I got it. Okay. Take a step forward, go to open the door. He pulls up. I said, okay. Take my step back and I wait there. And then they're laughing and, okay, come on, Christian. I'm like, I was serious. Like, I am not walking to this car. Put your car in reverse. You're going to back up right to me. You're going to open the door for me and then I'm going to get in. Now, my friend Jace also is pretty stubborn. Doesn't like being told what to do, like all of us. So he says, I'm not back in the car. Get in the car. I said, absolutely not. I told you what was going to happen if you did it one more time. And I'm not going to get in this car until you reverse it, open the door, and then I'll get in. I'll put my own seatbelt on, but that's it, okay? So we're there about half an hour goes by, and I'm standing in the snow. It's snowing. Like, I'm standing there in the snow. I have not even a coat on. I have a sweater on, and I'm standing there in the snow for about half an hour. It's getting close to 11, and now my friend John is like, Christian, like, I have to get home. Like, my parents are going to be so mad. I said, great, tell Jace, put it in reverse, back right up, pop open the door for me, I'll hop in, we'll go. And then he's like, hey, Jace, can we just do this? My friend Jace, just as stubborn as I am, no, I'm not doing it. Get in the car, Christian. He starts pulling forward. I'm like, you're just making a longer trip back for yourself because I am not walking to that car. So finally, John, my friend, says, I have to get home. So my friend Jay says, okay, I'm going to drive John home, and I'm going to come back for you. I said, perfect. I'm going to be right here. You're going to reverse to me. So he drives home John. About half an hour, 35 minutes goes by. I'm still standing in that same spot. It's been about an hour at this point. My friend Jace pulls up, and he actually pulls by me. He could have just stopped, but instead he pulls right to the spot where he was. And I'm still here. I said, all right, great. So to make a long story short, it was about 1 a.m., and about 3 hours have gone by at this point. And I'm standing in the snow, and Jace is in the car. And my one friend Phil is there just like, what is this? Like, you guys are so dumb. Like, I don't know what you guys are doing. I'm like, I am not getting in the car. Like, put it in reverse, I'll get in the car. And he's like, I'm going to leave you here. I said, perfect, I'll wait here all night. Like, I'm not getting in that car. So you want to know, like, how it actually ended? Like, who finally gave in? No one. So what happened was, my friend whose house it was realized at about 1 a.m., like, what are you guys doing? And so I explained what is happening, and she's like, are you serious? And she's like, just get in the car. I said, I would love to get in the car. Once Jace reverses it, opens the door, and I'll get in the car. So eventually, neither of one of us wanted to give in. No one wanted to be told what to do. So my friend whose house it was actually drove me home. She got in her car, and we followed Jace to drive to their house, and that is how we got home. Because we're stubborn. Or at least maybe it's just me and Jace, but we don't like being told what to do. And I made it pretty clear. I said, if you do this, I will not. And he didn't like that. He didn't like the idea of me saying, you will back up for me. We don't like being told what to do. We think about the idea of submitting to God, that's a bit different, right? If we think, oh, like, if I can submit to God, like, I can do that. If God tells me what I have to do, that's fine. Like, I can submit to God. That's great. But when it's other people, it gets tricky. The verse I want to look at this morning is Mark chapter 8, verse 34 and 35, and it says this. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. This verse is pretty clear that we are to deny ourselves. It doesn't just say, hey, follow me, that's great. It says, follow me, pick up your cross, deny yourself. It's pretty clear we're not always meant to get what we want. It's pretty clear that sometimes maybe I deny myself my stubbornness and say, fine, I'll get in the car. Then I wouldn't be standing in the snow for 3 hours. It calls us to deny ourselves. We're meant to give up on what we want for what others want. And only submission, only proper submission, allows us the freedom to distinguish between genuine issues and stubborn self-will. There's a big difference. A genuine issue would be if someone's asking you to do something that goes against Scripture or goes against what you feel that God's calling you to do. At those points, that doesn't mean that you just blindly submit. At those points, if it's a genuine issue, you can take your stand. But most times, it's just us being stubborn, I think. If we're honest, most times, it's not because it's a real, actual issue. It's because we think that it should be this way, and so we want it to be that way. Stubborn self-will is not wanting to take a few steps forward and getting in the car. Stubborn self-will is if your boss comes in and says, hey, we're going to change how we do this process. Now we want to do it this way. You're saying, I don't want to do it that way. That's dumb. Now, if your boss came in and said, hey, I want you to do something that maybe is dishonest or contradicts what God knows he's calling you to do, or you know that God's calling you to do, then that's an issue. But we have to determine, is this a genuine issue or is it just me being stubborn? When we submit to others, we value other people, and their dreams become important to us. And it doesn't matter what they do in return. This is not a, hey, I'll submit to you, but only if you give me this, this, and this. Right? Like, Jace, I will get in the car, but only if you put it in reverse, open the door for me, and allow me to get in. We're meant to deny ourselves. It's important to remember also that it's about self-denial, not self-pity. It's not about making ourselves a martyr. Like, okay, I'll submit to you because I just love to serve people. So whatever you want, I mean, I would really like this, but because I think that you're so important, I'm going to submit to you on this. Like, look at me, I'm so good. I never get what I want. I mean, I was joking with Elise the other day that when we have freezies in our house, and I say, I always eat the freezies no one else wants because I'm such a martyr. Like, no one wants the grape and the orange, so I'll eat the grape and the orange. You can have the blue and the white and the red, and I'll have all the bad ones, right? It's about self-denial, not self-pity. We also need to be careful because, like I said before, submission, true submission, doesn't exploit people. People who have authority have a responsibility over those people. Doesn't exploit, doesn't take advantage of, it has a responsibility. So we can't just blindly submit to what others tell us to do. We can't just say, oh, because this person said it, yeah, sure, I got to submit, so I'll do it. We have to evaluate. If we have authority over people, we have to evaluate, why are we doing this? Is it for their best interest? Also, when we submit, we allow others the chance to lead. When we don't always have to be in charge, we allow others the chance to lead. We allow others the chance to grow. I've been the youth pastor here for over 5 years now. One of the coolest things that I've got to experience is that when I first started, I had youth that are now leaders. So when I first started, teenagers that were in grade 10, 11, and 12 are now leaders, which is awesome. And whenever we do certain projects, when we're working on the youth center, there is so much that I do not know in terms of construction and building and that sort of stuff. But now my leaders, who used to be my youth, they know this stuff. And so I can take one of my leaders to Home Depot, and if we need to do some plumbing work, I know that he knows exactly what he's doing. He's going to buy all this stuff, and I'm just there to be like, whatever you want, man. Like, this, you're in charge here. Like, I'll submit to your authority on this one. And it gives him a chance to lead. It's a cool thing to experience. When we submit, when we give up control, we allow others a chance to grow and to lead. And that is the only way people are truly going to learn how to lead and to grow, is if we allow them that chance. If we submit to them and say, you're in charge. Okay, you pick. There are different types of acts of submission. We are called to submit to Scripture. We believe that the Bible is true, that its commands are true, that it details the best life that we can possibly live, and so we submit to its authority, or we should. We try to obey and listen to what it says, how it commands us to treat others. We submit to Scripture. Maybe that one's easy. We're also called to submit to our family. We submit by putting them first. We recognize that if we live like Jesus, his example is pretty clear that he puts others before himself. Kids, recognize that your parents put you first a lot of the time. A lot of the time, they sacrifice for you. Kids, also recognize that your parents have, in most cases, your best interest in mind. And so we can submit to them knowing that, you know what, I don't like this, but I trust that they have my best interest in mind, so I'll listen. We're also called to submit to our neighbors. In any community, there needs to be mutual submission. Otherwise, it's chaos. When I lived in college, I was in the dorms. There needed to be mutual submission. There had to be rules in place so that everyone could get along. One of the most contested rules was quiet time. Some people wanted quiet time at like 10 p.m. Some people wanted no quiet time whatsoever, right? But you meet in the middle, you submit to each other and say, you know what? Even though I don't like this, I'm going to submit and not have what I want. I'm going to give up my preferences because then it allows others to maybe get a little bit of what they want. We submit to our neighbors. We submit to our church. Sometimes in church, we have to give up what we want for the benefit of the church. Everyone has their own personal preferences, whether it's music or decor or speaking or whatever it is. It could be anything. Everyone has their own preferences, but sometimes it's not about what we want. Actually, most times it's not about what we want. It's about the greater church body. We submit to our church. We also submit to the lost. We submit to those who don't know Jesus. This should be the easiest people that we submit to. This should be the greatest case where we can give up. You know what? I don't care what I get. I don't care what I want. If it's going to see people come to know Jesus, I'm in. I'll do it. This should be the easiest one. This looks like volunteering at outreach events. This looks like, you know what? You see someone who maybe needs help and you, hey, I'm kind of in a hurry. I'm going to stop off and I'm going to use this as a time to show the hands and feet of Jesus to people. A great example, we have our VBS coming up, our Summer Kids Week. Maybe you don't love kids. Maybe the idea of kids running around all day is like, that is a nightmare. I don't want to do that. But in all honesty, the reality of seeing kids who have never heard of Jesus hear and experience Jesus, that should outweigh what we want. It should. We submit to the lost. We submit what we want for the lost. Ultimately, we need to completely submit to God in all areas of our life.
So Christian talked a lot about the various kinds of submission, the different ways that we can submit, the different levels, the different people we submit to. And the number one, the most important person that we should submit to is God. And the reason for that is, if you think of it like a pyramid. Like imagine I had a stack of cups here, 4 on the bottom, 3, 2, and then 1 on top. And if I was to fill that top cup with water and keep filling once it reached the top, the water would trickle down to the next 2. And then those would fill and it would trickle down to the next 3. And those would fill and trickle down to the next 4. Just like that top cup being filled ends up filling the rest of them, if we're submitting to God first as our number one priority, the rest of the areas of our lives that we are submitting to will follow. It's God's will to serve his people and to bless them. It's God's will to be there for them, to support them and lift them up. And so if that is God's will and we are submitting our lives to God, then we will be carrying out God's will with our lives. So we will be submitting to others because that's what he wants us to do. Even Jesus, who is God, submitted. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 7. Give me a sec here. It says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. So he took the form of a servant. He was God, but he chose to submit and to serve anyway because he knew that was God's will. When he was in Gethsemane and he was praying, he begged God for a different way. He said, God, if there is any other way that this can be done, let's do that way. But still, your will be done, not mine. That submission to God was a submission to us because he chose to put what he wanted aside. He chose to put his comfort aside for our benefit. And because he did that, we can walk around today and say that we are saved from our sin, say that we are free from our captivity. It was for our benefit. He was serving and submitting to us, putting us before himself. Sometimes it might seem like that submission isn't for our benefit at all. For Jesus, it wasn't. He died. He was crucified. But it was for our benefit. And sometimes when we're submitting, it may seem like nothing is going to help us. Nothing is going to make life easier or better for us? Like, why would we submit if our lives get harder? My family has a dog. Her name is Shadow. She is a beagle cross. We call her Shadow because she follows us underfoot all the time, especially if we have food. I was thinking about, she has a medical condition. I was thinking about it, and I was like, you know, you're not really supposed to share the medical conditions of others. But then I remembered she's a dog, so who cares? She has a thyroid issue, so it's hard for her to control her weight. And on top of that, she loves our food. So she's not small. She kind of waddles around a little bit. And if there's ever food around, even if it's like on a counter or pretty high up, if it's too close to the edge, she's going to get it. She's going to find a way to jump up and grab it. And we've tried the whole time we've had her to train her not to jump up, to tell her, like, not to do it. Not, I mean, obviously, because we don't want her to eat our food, because we want to eat our food, but also because it's really not good for her, because she's already overweight, and we don't want it to get even worse, but also she gets an allergic reaction to our food. She gets really itchy and really uncomfortable. She's in a lot of discomfort. So when we tell her not to take the food, it's not because we don't want her to enjoy her life. It's because if she takes our food, her life gets worse. It's harder for her. It's more uncomfortable. That's kind of like a minor example. Another one is when we were training her, we taught her, you know, like to sit, to stay, stuff like that. She's really not a big fan of other dogs. Loves people, doesn't really like other dogs. And so if our front door is open and there's a dog walking on the street, she likes to run at it. She would never actually attack it, but she runs at it and barks really aggressively. So one time the front door was open, there was a dog across the street walking on the sidewalk, and she bolted. And we yelled at her, we were like, Shadow, stop, like stay, sit, stay. And she didn't. She ran into the street and got hit by a car. She was fine. She ended up being okay. But the reason that we had trained her to sit and to stay, the reason that we had trained her at all, was so that we could tell her not to run into the street so she doesn't get hit by a car. Maybe not specifically that, but like in that scenario, that would have prevented that situation from happening. And so in the moments where it feels like us submitting, the moments where it feels like, you know, we need to begin to give up what we want for others, we may feel like this isn't benefiting anything. This isn't for anything. But maybe it's because it's practice, or maybe it's because down the road we're going to need to know how to submit, because there will be a situation that will come that we're going to need to submit, or we're going to have to suffer some serious consequences. Just like we hope that our dogs would submit to us, their masters, we need to submit to our master in the same way. And it's not because God wants us to have a worse life. We have to realize that God has our best interests at heart, and it's easier for us to submit to somebody if we recognize that they have our best interests at heart. And God does. He doesn't want to dominate us. He doesn't want us to submit so that he can be our master. He wants us to submit because he has a better plan for us. If he didn't want us to submit instead of being oppressed, he wouldn't have given us the choice. He wouldn't have given us the option to choose to serve him. Instead, he would have made us serve him, but he didn't. He wants us to choose to submit. He doesn't want to force us into submission. And so when we submit to God, it's us recognizing that he knows better than we do, and that he will know what is best for us. When I was growing up, I made myself 3 promises. The first one was, if I ever went to Bible college, it would not be Summit Pacific College. And if I did go to Summit, I would never do the Omega program. So when I graduated from high school, I applied for the Omega program. And it was because I had nothing to do. I had nothing else to do. I didn't know what to do. So I was like, okay, I'll do Omega. It's a 1-year program. It's not that much of a commitment. I can carry on with my life afterwards. So that's 2 of those promises broken right away, because I went to Summit, and I did the Omega program. While I was there, near the end of the year, I decided that God was asking me to go back to Summit to take the youth leadership program to be a youth pastor one day. My third promise to myself was that I would never be a youth pastor. But I just finished my second year of the youth leadership program, and I'm hoping to be a youth pastor one day. And all three of those promises to myself have now been broken. And the reason for that is all my life I made those promises because I could feel a little bit like that's where God wanted me to go. And that was me slamming the brakes and telling myself that I really didn't want to do that. That I didn't want to go to Summit. I didn't want to go into full-time ministry. I didn't want to do the Omega program because they scared me. It was a scary thought. But I decided shortly after I started the Omega program that I couldn't keep fighting God's will. I couldn't keep fighting what he wanted me to do. Instead, I had to submit and give in to what he wanted for me because he knew what was best. Because when I did the Omega program, even though I didn't want to initially, it was one of the best years of my life. I grew so much spiritually. I learned so much. I met so many amazing people. It was such an awesome year. It was one that I enjoyed so much that this past year I helped lead it, and this next year I'll be helping lead it again. So my promise to not do Omega ended up being me doing Omega three times. But it's because God's will is better than mine. God's way is better than mine. And I recognize that his plan was better than my plan. And the benefits that I've seen from following him have been amazing. The reason that I've been here this summer, which has been an incredible summer, is because I'm going to Summit. Because God asked me to go to be a youth pastor. And this is one of the ways that I can train myself to do that. And I've loved being here. It's been incredible. And God's will is so much better than my plan. So much better. So we talk about how submitting to God is the most important, and then submitting to how that carries over into submitting to all these other areas in our lives. And it seems like it's a lot of submission. It's a lot of us giving up what we want for the sake of others. And it's often like I've thought, like, why do I have to do all the submitting? Why is it that it's always, you know, why do I have to always give up what I want? Why can't I be the one that sometimes gets what I want? But the reason I was even thinking that way is because I was thinking about it from a selfish perspective, thinking God's calling me to submit. But if God's calling me to submit as a follower of him, he's calling all of us to submit as a follower of him. And it's not just me that's going to be submitting, but we are all to submit to each other. And I pictured this, when I thought about that, then I was like, okay, so it's kind of like if we start on equal ground, then I submit, and then someone else submits, and then I submit, and someone else submits, and we're just going lower and lower. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would we do that? But it's not like that. It's not thinking of it that way. It's more like this. The reason we submit is not just because, you know, God told us to submit, so I'm going to submit. The reason we submit is to help push each other forward. So if we start on equal ground and I submit and I help lift someone up, we're both higher than where we started. And then that other person submits and pushes me up, and it goes on and on and on. And we push each other forward. But if it's the other way around and we think about ourselves first, we put ourselves on top and try and push others down, we end up lower than we started, trying to get higher. And that's the never-ending cycle of that. The reason we submit to each other is so that we can help each other grow. On Thursday, we had young adults, and we've been doing these discussions about Proverbs all summer. And we were talking about humility and what it means to think of others before ourselves. And Elise said something that I thought was really cool. And she said, if I'm submitting to you and putting you first, and you're submitting to me and putting me first, everybody's taken care of. We don't have to worry about ourselves, because if we, as the body of Christ, are willing to submit and put others first, then we can trust that others are going to submit and put us first. And instead, we support each other instead of thinking just about ourselves. And we work together to lift each other up. we may not be able to count on the entire world to do this. Not everybody in the world knows Jesus. Not everybody in the world has this point of view. But what we can do is, as the body of Christ, as a family, we can count on each other. And we know that as followers of Jesus, we can count on each other to support and lift each other up, to carry on together. And as the church, we can impact the communities around us, because if we're all willing to give up the things that we care about for the sake of others, that's noticeable. That's not a normal thing. Nobody in the world thinks like that. Our natural tendency is to think about ourselves. So if we are a group of people that is willing to think about others first, it's hard not to notice that. And people will start to see that and start to see the benefits of that. And we can actually change the community around us through that, because people will be interested. They'll want to know. It will infect the world with this idea of putting each other first. And that way is a major way that we can share the love of Jesus with everybody, because they'll see who we are by our actions. We aren't submitting so that we can be put down. We're submitting so we can push each other forward. Even though some people won't submit to us, we still need to submit to them. Because we're not submitting for the benefit to ourselves. Because if that's why we're submitting, then we're not actually submitting. We're still thinking about ourselves first. But if we are genuinely thinking about the needs of other people first, then it won't matter if they're willing to submit to us back or not. Because we're not doing it for ourselves, we're doing it for them. So even though some people won't be able to submit to us or won't want to, we still need to submit to them to show them the example that Jesus set for us. Because that way we can push them forward, whether or not they want to push us forward. That's what Jesus did. Jesus sacrificed himself for our needs, whether or not we were willing to submit to him. There are people out there that don't know Jesus, or people out there that have straight up rejected him. He still died for them. He still died for them, because it wasn't about them submitting to him. It was about him giving something up for their sake, whether or not they chose to accept it. And if that's his example of willfully submitting to God, recognizing that God's heart for us is good, and so because of that, he submitted himself to all those around him. If that was Jesus' example, then that's what we are to follow. Whether or not we know that other people are going to care about us, we need to submit to them, because that's what Jesus did. That's the love of Jesus. And if our calling as followers of him is to share the love of Jesus, then that's what we need to do. We need to submit to others, push them forward, show them the love of Christ, whether or not they choose to accept it or give it back. And that's hard to do. It is. It's really hard to do. I mean, like, even when I was writing this, like, my notes here, I don't do this. I don't do this a lot. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not a natural thing to do. But it's something that we can work on, something that we can get better over time, so that eventually a day will come when the church will be the most uplifting and supportive group of people that the world has ever seen. So let's follow Jesus' example, submit to others, so that they can see the love of Jesus the way that we know it to be. I'm going to pray. God, thank you so much that in difficult callings and things that are hard for us to do, that you're there to walk alongside us. Thank you for your son and the example that he set for us of submitting, whether or not we choose to accept it. And so we pray, God, that we would be able to follow that example, that you would give us the strength to submit, to put others' needs before our own, whether or not that they choose to accept it or give it back, but that we'd be willing to give up our needs, be willing to give up the things that we want in order to help lift each other up, God. We pray that, through our example and our actions, that we'd be able to share your love with the world around us, and ultimately, Jesus, that you would be able to reach out, find the lost, and show them your love. We thank you that through these hard things, we can ask for your help. We pray all this in your name. Amen. Amen. Have a great Sunday.